Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
I want to welcome Stephanie Luke, Lori Duffy, and Julie Winkler with CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque in the studio today. Ladies, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're happy to be here.
We've got a full house. We're close to social distancing
right
here, but maybe a foot too close. I don't know. We'll try to move back. We'll get these walls out of the way. Anything that goes wrong, we can blame on Steve Ryman, our producer. So don't worry about that at all. He's doing the full muscle pose now, like he's invincible. Thanks, Steve, for getting us on the air. I want to introduce these ladies. Stephanie Luke is the Executive Director of CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque. Lori is the Community Outreach Director. And Julie is the Medical Mobile Unit Director, so part of the team. And you have others, right?
That's right.
Hey, Stephanie, let's start by talking about CareNet and what the organization does and your purpose.
Sure. Jim, thank you so much for having us on the air today. And I just want to let you know, CareNet, first of all, is a ministry support. It's a ministry-supported, individual-supported entity. And Lori Duffy, our outreach director, will share a little bit more on that. But CareNet is an alternative to abortion. So we provide free and confidential services to the community, including free pregnancy testing, STI testing, ultrasounds. We also have resources such as diapers and wipes and formula. We have classes that we can offer for our clients that would be prenatal and parenting classes. We also have a post-abortive support recovery group, and we have a ton of community referrals too. We get our we're able to connect our clients to particularly Loveless, which has our Labor of Love. It's a program that CareNet started several years ago with Loveless that helps our clients to have resources in the community. And this actually, this hospital, Loveless, actually provides resources to help them if they're not covered by insurance and things like that. So they really help them through the pregnancy.
Well, I want to bring to the attention of our audience that you're emphasizing that your services are free.
Yes.
There's a reason for that.
Right.
Because abortion clinics are not free.
That's right.
And they're a big, big profit center. Now, I am personally, when it comes to business, not opposed to people making a profit. Absolutely. And even nonprofit organizations have to bring in more money than they spend. So we hope our listeners will think about supporting you. But you are not a profit center.
Right.
You're not getting Medicaid reimbursements and Medicare reimbursements. And you're not doing a high-pressure sales thing and trying to talk people into a medical procedure that they may not want. There's no pressure.
Right.
So I want to emphasize all of those things as the reason why you are making the points that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
And I need our listeners, or at least I hope our listeners, will keep that in mind as we go through this. Lori, you are community relations, doing public relations.
Mm-hmm.
You have to educate people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you how hard it is to present the facts about abortion to our community.
You know, I think there's a certain sense of disbelief among the community. You know, one, that there's such a prevalence of abortion in our communities that, you know, one in three or one in four women will have an abortion in their lifetime, and also even how prevalent it is within the church. And then the other area that I think we meet a lot of pushback or a disbelief is that in the city of Albuquerque, an abortion can be done up to the day of delivery. And I have people just look at me and think that I've just lied to them when I tell them that. But yeah, I would say that it is kind of difficult. And there's just, I think there's kind of a not wanting to hear about the issue amongst people in general, not just the church, but people in general. They just really don't want to hear about it. They, you know, they've already decided in their mind, for one thing. I've said before that they have this unplanned pregnancy equals abortion equation. And so what we have to work hard to do is to try to change that math equation to an unplanned pregnancy does not equal abortion, and that we have options and information that we can help a woman and a young man to look at to make a different decision.
Julie Winkler, you are the medical mobile unit director.
Yes.
Tell us about the medical mobile unit.
I'm so glad you asked. That is definitely my passion. The medical mobile unit is essentially a mobile center. We are able to provide pregnancy tests, STI tests, ultrasounds, and we do a lot of decision coaching on the bus. When we go out, we're able to go places that reach the community that we don't normally see at CareNet. We get to go straight to the abortion clinic, the main abortion clinic in Albuquerque, and sit right across the street and try to be a beacon for those women at the very last possible moment before they make an abortion decision.
And do you stand outside the abortion clinic and yell obscenities and tell people they're going to be condemned to hell and all that?
No. We love these women regardless of the decision they make. And it is the name of the mobile unit is Compassion. And that is exactly what we are hoping to express to these women and men that are there, because we see both.
Mm-hmm. So many times, and the reason that I want you on the program and I think it's so important for people to hear is there is one side of the story, the pro-abortion, pro-choice lobby, where they want to paint you and other people that are pro-life as, you know, people that are mean and hate, filled with hate and all of this. And you guys are exactly opposite of all of that. And you're really just trying to give people some care to make sure they have information. For example, and I'll go to Stephanie now. Stephanie, I understand that ultrasounds are a necessary part of a medical procedure when you're pregnant, even for an abortionist. But the abortionist doesn't want you as a woman to see the ultrasound. Yes. And you guys make sure that they do.
That's right. Yes. There's a big impact on our women when they come in, and men too. Their partners get to come in and see the ultrasound. But the women that come in for the ultrasound, after they see that little one in their womb, about 85%, that's a statistic that we keep our stats every year. And so we have about 85% of the women that come in that are abortion-minded. Once they have an ultrasound, they leave changing their minds and wanting to keep their baby. So.
And again, that's not based on some high-pressure tactics.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We again, come with compassion, professionalism, educating, no judgment.
What do you think about people that have had abortions and are still considering having another one and they come and see you? How do you treat them?
Well, like anyone else, we love them. And that is pretty common, even amongst our staff and volunteers. We've had staff and volunteers who have had abortions, and we have an incredible training resource and that we take our volunteers and staff through that show them, you know, here's what you're going to face when working with clients. So maybe they haven't had an abortion, but we let them know if this isn't going to work for you, if you can't be compassionate, if this is, you know, going to be too frustrating for you, please go somewhere else, because we want to have those who are working in our centers to really be loving and to show the love of Jesus to these young men and women, and to let them know that they are valuable, but also their little ones are valuable. But absolutely, we don't judge them.
I don't know which of you wants to take this question, but what do you mean you help take care of the entire family?
You want to do that, Julie?
Or go for
Stephanie?
It, Julie.
Yeah.
the whole family, when we see any client, we know that this decision is not hers alone. Yes, the world would say it is, but we know the reality is there are other factors and other circumstances influencing her decision. And so it's important to us that we are able to meet the needs of those people in her life that need assurances that abortion doesn't have to be the only decision for her, that if it's a boyfriend or a husband or a mom or a dad or an auntie, whoever it is that is her support person, we want to make sure that we have the capability to assist them in making a good decision for their family, not just for one person.
Julie, is it true that family members will oftentimes, brothers, sisters, moms, and dads, will pressure a woman into getting an abortion?
Yes. Actually, I have a story about that from April. We had a set of sisters that came on the bus at the abortion clinic because one had an appointment there and the other one went to support her. And we were able to talk with both of them on the bus and to make a life decision for two families in that visit. It was an amazing opportunity.
What changes their mind? I guess why would somebody be predisposed to terminating a pregnancy instead of keeping the baby? Is it fear?
Most of the time, yes. It's fear, it's shame, it's a feeling that they're not going to be accepted by their community, whatever that looks like.
I had a conversation yesterday with a couple of scientists, Dr. Stephen Collins and Dr. Gary Byers, who are world-renowned archaeologists, and they happen to live in Albuquerque, which I'm kind of proud of. I'm proud of you guys, too, because you're having some impact, just not on our community. But every time there's an event where you take a stand, that seems to enhance the reputation of CareNet nationally. I mean, you are loving people. You're caring about people. But they started off our conversation yesterday talking in what I will call, this is not a criticism, but it's something that people that are not Christians don't understand. When we talk about we are sinners, we're chief among sinners, sometimes people think that's self-deprecating or something, and they don't really understand sincerely what we're trying to say is, look, we are not better because of what we believe. We're just really forgiven. Mm-hmm. We want you to participate in that. Don't let this eat you up inside. Just let God have it. And that's why I'm so excited to talk with all three of you today about that attitude of humble approach to people, talking with people about alternatives, giving them some medical kinds of, Stephanie, I want to ask you about the medical thing. One of the criticisms from the opposition is that you don't have real medical services. Is that true?
That is absolutely not true. We have a medical director who is a doctor with Loveless. And our nurse manager and our RDMS, everyone who does ultrasounds and works anything medical is licensed. They are not allowed to work under any type of medical capacity unless they're licensed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lori, I want to ask you as the community relations person, why are you involved with CareNet? How did that, what was that journey to getting this position?
Wow. Do I have to go all the way back to high school?
Well, as much as you want to tell us.
Okay, it doesn't sound like, am I on?
No, still? You're good.
Okay, good. You know, I just have always considered myself pro-life, and I think I mentioned before that I graduated from high school in 1977, so I was 4 years after Roe versus Wade had been decided.
You know what upsets me about this?
What?
Is I'm the oldest person
one
in
still?
The room.
Still?
I why is that stay constant?
You don't know how old Julie is.
Julie's a baby.
She's a baby.
Sorry, I had to do that. But and so even though it had become law that abortions were legal, it was still something that was debated. It wasn't just a commonplace occurrence. And so I was always, you know, pro-life. And then just throughout my adult years, I continued along that line. And our son, about 15 years ago, he and his wife were expecting their third baby. And this is the one that really, I think, impacted me the most, was that they had an ultrasound, found out they were having a boy. She went to the doctor. He went back to work. And within minutes of being in the doctor's office, she was told that their baby was not compatible with life. And Adam had a condition known as anencephaly. And so the brain stem had developed, but the brain had not developed. So they went from finding out that they were getting their first boy after two girls and that they were not going to be able to keep him. And but nearly in the same breath, I mean, after they called Tim back to the hospital and everybody was there together or the doctor's office, they said, OK, we'll get you upstairs now to schedule your termination. Immediately, there was no question. There was no question about what the outcome of this pregnancy would be as far as the medical professionals were concerned. And so they decided right then and there that they were not going to do that, that this was their baby and that they would protect him for as long as they could. And so we had a little, you know, baby boy that year, and he was beautiful and perfect in every way, with the exception of not being able to function once he was born. But, you know, through that entire pregnancy, every time our daughter-in-law would go to the doctor, she would be asked the question, when are you going to schedule your termination? And the longer you wait, the harder it gets. And that sort of thing. So that really had an impact on me. And then I worked in a position as a ministry assistant where CareNet was in the Los Lunas area as a center. And we got on board to support that center and did fundraisers at the church and really got to know the gals. And I became a volunteer there and went from being a volunteer there to being the assistant director, and then came up here in 2015 as the community outreach director. And I just, you know, I see that pressure. It's like I said earlier, the unplanned pregnancy equals abortion. And it's just not, it doesn't have to be that way. And we're here to help.
You know, I think all of us try to avoid pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, the world somehow presents that if you can't see that baby, there's no pain.
Right.
But it sounds like Adam had much less pain being born and then being taken care of. I'm sure there was some way he was prevented from suffering.
Right, yes.
And that's a lot different than, frankly, being chopped up and terminated.
Can't even imagine. You know, his mom, we visited in July before he was born in November, and she would say to me, why would I want to hurt my baby? Because she understood that that would be a painful process for him to have to be induced early. And just, you know, he was active. He was just a part of her. And I'm so proud of how they handled that.
We have Stephanie Luke, Lori Duffy, and Julie Winkler with CareNet. Their ministry is amazing, CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque. We're going to be back, and when we come back, I'm going to address another hard question to Julie about the number of late-term abortions, because people are going to be shocked when they hear about this. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Do you have an old clunker or a good running vehicle? Donate to Joy Junction. It can help bring hope to the homeless. If it's in good condition, great. If not, no problem. Running, not rare. We'll take it. Just contact us, and we'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help? Here's Joy Junction CEO, Elma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless families, men and women, for more than 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have a new additional space to give more dignity and privacy to those who come to our doors. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org.
To a patient with High Desert Hospice, something as simple as a caring touch, a smile, a prayer, or even just physical presence can bring comfort beyond measure.
I was unsure about volunteering, but when I met my first patient, I knew I had made the right decision. The patients and families are so grateful. You can't help but feel good.
Discover just how easy and fulfilling volunteering with High Desert Hospice can be. Go to highdeserthospice.care. That's highdeserthospice.care. And click on volunteer.
A strong marriage can change a couple, a community, and a culture. Join us at Calvary Church for the Marriage Enrichment Workshop on Friday, August 14th and Saturday, August 15th. Discover your relationship strengths and growth areas with a pre-workshop online evaluation by Prepare Enrich that includes stress, communication, intimacy, and more. Then enjoy guided couple and small group discussions and exercises as you develop a plan to move forward. The cost for this workshop is $95. And space is limited. Sign up by Monday, August 3rd at calvarynm.church.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Well, there are four products of conception in this studio this afternoon. I'm talking about you on the radio. These terms that you three teach me are like, I want to just roll my eyes and go, this is branding. We have a contributor to our program, Steve McKee, who is a branding expert, and he's always just bringing up, this is a branding thing. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You know, people that are pro-abortion, product of conception, Julie?
Yes. That is what they refer to the baby as, a product of conception.
So I've heard, what's interesting about doing this show is, hey, we're just having a conversation. And I'm happy to talk to the opposition. I'm happy for them to say, this is why we believe this is okay. Mm-hmm. And I have had some people, and they have been gracious. They've not been mean or anything, but they've come up and said, gee, you're talking to those pro-life people, and, you know, they're mean and grouchy, and they think we're all going to, you know, burn in hell and all this kind of stuff, which, you know, I clarify for them. That is really not, you know, sin is sin. For all of us, fall short. This is in my mind very tragic because you're taking a human life, and what I want to address is just from a political, secular standpoint. I want to talk about late term abortion, and I hear from people that are pro abortion that never really happens. In fact, to quote them correctly, you Christians are always worried about stuff that really doesn't matter. That was exactly what was said to me. Do late-term abortions happen?
Yes, every week. Which is why we go out to the abortion clinics. We are out there 2 to 3 times a week, and we see women who are visibly pregnant going into that center, and over the course of 1, 2, or 3 days, come back out without that baby bump. We see the parking lot has been full. It's like a revolving door with couriers dropping girls off and family members hanging out in their cars. And it's a real thing.
How do you get someone's attention to come and talk with you?
That is the true art of what we do out there. Getting their attention almost always has to be from a standpoint of, we understand that you're having a hard time. We want to help. All of our services are free. We can give you a picture of your baby to keep. Which is something that they do not get, of course, in the abortion clinic. And so those are some of the things that we will use to get their attention, and then we can have a conversation with them once we have attained that.
So I've been told that late-term abortions just rarely, if ever, happen. You're saying that they happen every week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that, let's take a typical year at one clinic, that's got to be 52 babies.
Well above,
Okay, so I mean, I'm just trying to take the minimum. Yeah.
And that's at the one clinic that we go to.
Yeah, and that's a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a lot of people that literally could be born at any time.
Yes.
The baby could even be taken out of the mother's womb and be viable and live. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But they're killed. I mean, there's no other way to say it. They are killed, and Wow. Lori just told us a story about a funeral home. You got to convey that
to
our listeners.
Yeah. A precious friend of mine told a story once about a late term abortion where the grandmother had really not wanted the baby to be aborted. And so she had asked the funeral home to have a service for that baby. And this man had to go to the facility, to the late term abortion facility, and ask for the baby. And he was corrected then right away. I'm not sure if they use the word product of conception, but fetus might be what they said. But anyway, he had to take that baby back and put all of the pieces together. I mean, just like you're putting a jigsaw puzzle back together. And I believe that that still haunts him to this day, to think about that precious little baby that had been killed. Like you said, there isn't any other word for it. It is killing the baby. And
I frequently have veterans of our United States Armed Forces on this program, men and women, people that are serving that whole community, people that come back with PTSD and other kinds of things. That a lot of times is caused because they see their friends dismembered in battle. Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine as a funeral director or something, that would be very traumatic.
Yeah, and you know, there are some ministries, not CareNet specifically, but exist just to try to help abortion care workers get out of the industry. Because they know that it's just tearing up their souls. You know, it really is. Another thing that when Julie was talking about how we get people's attention, several months back, there was a young couple that had come up from Texas, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but they had a lot of opportunity to talk to the young man as he stood out on the sidewalk. But one of the things he said, as he was learning more and more information about fetal development, about what was going on at that point in the pregnancy, what some of the side effects could be, he looked at them and he said, you know, it's no wonder that they tell us not to talk to the people on the sidewalks. So that those are specific instructions that they're given when they're prepping them to come in for their abortions.
Do these clinics try to get the police to run you off or any of those kind of things?
They have cameras, of course, on the outside of their building, and they do monitor the folks on the sidewalk very closely. If their toe, for example, crosses off of the sidewalk and into the grass, they will call the police out.
And they'll get cited.
Yes, and they do get cited.
Stephanie, tell us about how easy it is to contact CareNet if you need care, if you are pregnant, if you are scared. I mean, we are not minimizing the pressure that you feel. We're not minimizing the anxiety. But we're just saying that there's some other alternatives that are going to relieve you, not just about your pregnancy, but about the future and give you a way to deal with it you can live with and prosper and blossom in your life. How do people get in touch with you?
Sure. You can go to our website at pregnanthelponline.com. You can find phone numbers and you can even set up an appointment. You can email us online to set up an appointment. And I love that you use the word relieved because, like you said, there are a lot of women that feel that pressure and that they have to make the decision right away. And that's something that CareNet does differently, where we let them know you don't have to make that decision right away. You can think about it. We want to help lift that burden from them and give them relief to show them that, again, that there are alternatives, but that we're there to help and support. They have support, and they don't have to be afraid to make this decision that's going to affect them for the rest of their lives.
Right. And you get paid a lot more money if you make them delay a couple days, right?
You know, that's a good point. Absolutely not as a nonprofit, but I do want to mention I do know with the late term abortion facility here in New Mexico, they actually do get commission for every abortion that they do. So their staff gets commission. So we want our women and men to know we're all of our services are free. And we, again, we come to them with a compassionate approach, not a pressured approach.
You know, I'm visualizing a commission statement on a paycheck. And it might say 1, 2, 3, 4. But what if it said Stephanie, Lori, Jim, Julie?
Mm-hmm.
That would be really, that would tear me up to have a name to the people that have been killed.
Yeah.
All right.
That would be really scary.
And that, you know, the way we, the words that we use, just letting these women know your baby is going to be due on such and such date, not you have this fetus or a product of conception. I mean, just the correct verbiage really makes a difference as well.
We have a lot more to go to hear about CareNet and all the care they provide. Stay with us. We're going to say thank you to several of our sponsors, and we do really appreciate our sponsors. They're the ones that allow us to bring you content, bring up topics like this. Even though I know this isn't a warm, fuzzy feeling topic, it really is when you think about the great stories and the success stories that come of it. So we'll hear about more success stories when we come back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Budge, Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof. Gone. Legislators alone with American Express suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local, follow local media. And finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque are in studio today. We have Stephanie Luke, their executive director, and Lori Duffy, the community outreach director, and Julie Winkler.
Yes.
In relation to Henry Winkler?
My husband has an Uncle Henry, but it's not the Henry.
You know, I, whenever we talk about stuff like this, and probably, you know, you see how simple my mind is, I try to think of happy things. So I immediately thought about Happy Days when I heard the Winkler.
Yeah.
And it was just fun, and it was, you know, it was a cute show. And Julie's going to share with us some more happy news right now. She's got a good story for us.
Yes. I had mentioned earlier about the sisters, and I wanted to go back to them. They had come to the abortion clinic for the younger sister to have an abortion. And she was about... She was only 12 weeks along, but her sister had gone with her, and she was 24 weeks. And as they went into the abortion center, a feeling came over them as they were in there that was just dark and unsettling. And so they came out for a breather, and when they came out, of course, we had folks on the sidewalk who were able to get their attention and talk to them and start a dialogue about how far along are you and what's going on in your life that you're, you know, that you're feeling like you need to make this decision today. And in the course of that, they brought them over to the mobile unit. And as the sisters came on, it was interesting. We didn't realize they were sisters right away. So we helped the younger sister who was farther along, and we did her intake and got her story. And she was a single mom, had a kid already, didn't know that she could do this. And we talked with her. We told her about all of the services that CareNet offers, and she was very interested in getting help with diapers and wipes and those sorts of things because those are expensive. And as we were talking with her, her sister was sitting listening very quietly. And when I finally was able to turn my attention to sister number two, she was very broken. She was coming out of a difficult relationship, and she was afraid of bringing a baby into this world, especially during COVID and with all of the craziness going on in the world today. And she was looking for a way to have assurances. Mm-hmm. And in talking with her about where she's at in her current walk, she was raised Catholic, and we were able to have a evangelistic conversation with her. She did not make a decision for Christ that day, but we were able to plant that seed, and we've been able to keep in touch with her, and she is still keeping that baby. And so those sisters, once we realized they were sisters, really touched me because they were going to support each other through an abortion, and now they are supporting each other in keeping their babies. And that's huge.
Stephanie, Julie just mentioned some things that you do once the baby's born. Mm-hmm. What are some of those services?
Sure. Well, we do have parenting classes. We do have resources, diapers, wipes, formula, clothes. We receive donations from the community, and anything that's new or lightly used, we provide for our clients. So we have a clothing closet at each of our centers. I didn't mention we do have 4 centers in a mobile unit. We have one in Albuquerque in the northeast area. We have Rio Rancho area, Los Lunas, and Moriarty, besides our medical mobile unit. So at any one of those locations, women or men can go there for resources. We also, like I said, we provide with the resources, we like to have dinners for our clients, at least at the Northeast Heights, but we really would love to see churches get involved with our clients too, especially for those who have made a decision for Christ, to mm-hmm. have a body of believers to come around and support them. And it's huge. They need that discipleship. They need someone to help them in their walk.
I don't know if I'm going to voice this correctly.
Okay.
So I don't want to offend anybody because, you know, today's culture, boy, you open your mouth and everybody's offended. Sorry about that because I'm probably the worst. I don't intend to offend anybody, but I would imagine that there is a pregnant young woman listening to this program that doesn't want to go to a church because she's pregnant and she's not married. Mm-hmm. What's the reaction of the church going to be to her?
Well, hopefully they're going to be welcoming and loving.
And you know that's going to be true.
Yes.
They're going to love on her. They're not going to, I mean, there's not going to be any, oh, yeah. Well, you must have had premarital sex. Well, yeah, that's pretty evident.
Yeah.
But that really doesn't matter.
Right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to start the care process and start to encourage them. Are people manipulated into terminating pregnancies? And how do you just be caring without being manipulating on the other side?
I think the answer to that is yes, they are. I mean, if you call an abortion facility, they're not going to give you even another option. That's all they're going to talk about to you is terminating a pregnancy. And, you know, at CareNet, one of the things that we do is provide all of the information. We provide the information about what it means to have a medical termination or a late term abortion and what some of those side effects can be and all of those things. But there is no pressure. It is a completely, like we've said before, it's a completely judgment free zone, and there is no pressure to terminate a pregnancy at all at CareNet. And I think we mentioned this last time that woman who walks out the door and you just absolutely know that that's the decision that she's making. If she came back through the door the next day, she would be just as welcome as she had been the day before. No question.
I would like to say there's absolutely no pressure. In fact, we can't refer for abortions. We don't want to refer for abortions.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not that what we really want to say is there's no pressure to keep or to place the baby for adoption. But if somebody does want to have an abortion, we don't judge them. We would prefer that they did not, and we're going to do whatever we can to encourage them to keep this little one. But but we, again, don't refer for abortion.
Mm-hmm. I can only imagine the conversations that you have, because right now I'm imagining, because I'll never experience it in my life. I have three daughters, and I'm hoping that they give me grandchildren one of these days. But I can't imagine being really distressed about having a baby, being by yourself. So, again, I don't want to give any of our listeners the wrong impression that I'm trying to put myself in their shoes, because I'll never really understand that. But you've talked to people directly, haven't you, Julie, about that are dealing with this, and they feel pressure and they have anxiety and they have parents that are maybe embarrassed that they're pregnant. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of, you know, issues with shame. When you talk to people about this, and they may even be people of faith already.
Oftentimes they are.
And that might contribute to why they're so embarrassed. Mm-hmm. But to me, and I think this is true with any situation, when we admit our weaknesses, when we just say, I blew it, God forgive me, man, God always does spectacular things with you after that.
Yeah.
His power and what he wants to do in your life now explodes instead of you depending on your own so-called strength. So I'm impressed how you guys are working very closely. Let's talk about, you know, getting an appointment. Let's say that Julie's out there working hard in the field. And Julie, in our last segment, I'm going to ask you about maybe some unpleasant confrontations you've had with people. But right now I want to focus on, if you need help now, don't wait till you get to the clinic.
Yeah.
Go, no. Call CareNet. Mm-hmm. Get that input first. How hard is it to get an appointment?
It's very simple. Very simple. Like I said, you can go to our website. It'll give you phone numbers to contact the centers, one of the centers.
3 month wait, Stephanie?
Oh, goodness. No, we have walk-ins as well. So if you come in as a walk-in during our business hours, if we're available, we want to help right away.
Okay. So is there a phone number for people to call?
You can call our main number at our administration office to get connected to one of the centers, but there is a phone number for each center. But
okay. The best way to do it is to reach out on the website, and that website is one more time.
Sure. It's pregnanthelponline.com. Pregnanthelponline.com.
All right. We're going to have a final 10, 15 minutes with Stephanie Luke, Lori Duffy, and Julie Winkler. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Great Omission. That's what one author said the Great Commission has become. Obviously, not acceptable. At Star 88 and KNKT, we know this great mission job is one for the church. Each month, we put a spotlight on a global outpost for the gospel. This month, we're featuring Kevin Stark from Team Extreme.
I heard the voice of the Lord, and he just said, I'm going to use you to train and mobilize athletes around the world to preach the gospel. Most of our crowds are about 70% unbelievers or maybe even backslidden Christians. But when they see that a guy that's big and strong and tough can be tender and in love with Jesus and passionate about people, it just breaks the stereotype.
That's Kevin Stark from Team Extreme in our spotlight on The Great Mission this month on Star 88 and KNKT. Fulfilling the command of Jesus is possible in our lifetime. To support this ministry, visit star88.fm or knkt.com.
A wake-up call. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of Vision for Life. On November 13, 2015, 8 radical Islamic terrorists unleashed an attack on the city of Paris that killed over 130 people. From attacking a theater where a heavy metal band was performing to unleashing 3 explosions inside the soccer stadium, these Islamic State pawns executed an orchestrated plan to further their agenda of jihad. You know, our world has changed drastically over the last 15 years, and the questions we must ask individually and collectively is, are we learning anything from these moments that should inform our way? Is our government doing all that it can to protect us? Proverbs 1, 32 and 33 states, for the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and be at ease without dread of disaster.
You've been listening to Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision, a ministry of Vision for Life Radio at visionforlife.org.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are in our final segment today with the team from CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque, Stephanie Luke, Lori Duffy, and Julie Winkler. Before I go into a couple parenting questions, because I think, hey, just if you're not even that nervous about the pregnancy, if it's not an unwanted pregnancy, you're still going to be nervous about being a parent. But before I do that, I got to let all of our listeners know, a lot of our listeners support Gospel for Asia. And Gospel for Asia is coming up with a special promotion. They're doing amazing work in East India and some other countries. They're providing fresh water, food, employment, and I want you to be aware of some announcements upcoming from GFA, Gospel for Asia, and we're going to let everybody know about that. So I hope you don't mind me slipping in that liner there for Gospel for Asia, but they do some amazing mm-hmm. work with literally millions yeah. of people around the world. Yeah. And they're enduring, you know, tough times through COVID as well. I mentioned before the break that we're going to talk a little bit about parenting. I have 5 children, and the profound thing that I found out about children is that, you know, I had my first son. He had a certain personality, had certain things going on. He was the most mellow child on the planet. Of course, we had friends telling us, oh, girls are so much easier. Garbage. Sorry, ladies. Women are, girls are a lot harder than boys, is my experience. Now, Lori's shaking her head. No way. She's got a different story. But that's why I want to ask that's you, right, because yeah. here's my point. I got 5 kids. You would think that 2 of them might have similar personalities. No, that is not the way God works. There is no way to practice.
Yeah. yeah.
Nothing that you did on the first one applies to the second one. Do you
right.
have that same experience?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You know, that's, I have 4 children. Mm-hmm. And so, first two were boys that we adopted mm-hmm. When they were 4 and 5 and 7. We got them when they were 3 and 5. But anyway, they have different personalities. And then we have 2 girls that were our natural children. We have an almost 38-year-old and a almost 36-year-old. And their two, especially their 2 personalities were so much different. Kristen was, she was real mellow. You know, she was, very, very, amenable to things. I found out later she had a real stubborn streak in her that was, she was just really good, but she was really stubborn. And, you know, the little one, she was, you know, pounding her head on the floor by the time she was 6 months old if she didn't get her way. So, you know, they were really different. And, but you know, that's one of the things that is so cool about CareNet and about the educational program is that, you know, none of us, like you said, none of us came with we didn't get a manual. We didn't get instructions. We didn't get any of those things. You just, loved them and you cared for them. And we have all of these educational programs. And when we talk about prenatal development, I mean, it also talks about how to handle a temper tantrum, how to handle first aid, how to handle, the toddler years, how to deal with those things. And, you know, those
is that
are
a temper tantrum from your children or your husband?
Well, you know, we can get both of those, but I think we're talking about the children here. Okay. But, you know, I just, you know, I think, again, it's the part of our advocates about just being real, because we don't tell young men and young women that this is going to be super easy. And, you know, and another thing that we have is we have the fatherhood program, like we mentioned before, and we haven't mentioned that today yet, but we've got, you know, Dan Rosecrans, who comes and is doing our fatherhood program in each, and in coordinating that.
Dan's a radio guy
from way back. And so, you know, so that's an important piece too. Those dads don't know how to be dads either necessarily. And they may not have even had an example of a dad. And so, we help them through this challenge as well.
How afraid are men and women about being parents?
I think many of them are very afraid.
I mean,
are
they terrified
of
them?
Yeah. I think there are some. I think there are some who are terrified. I know one of the things that I've heard people say is, you know, did any of us get here any other way? We all came into the world the same way. This is a natural thing. This is God's design for us to have babies and to parent them and to train them up. And, you know, when we seek guidance through His Word in how to raise our children, then that's what's important. I'm hoping my kids aren't listening, because they might call in and tell you things about me. But no, did we do things perfectly? Not at all. You know, did I raise my voice when I shouldn't have? Absolutely. You know, but God blesses your efforts, you know.
So my character will be revealed in this statement. I don't have any grandchildren yet.
Uh-huh.
I'm hoping to have some pretty soon. I have 5 children.
They're
two
fabulous.
Are married. I think my third one's going to get engaged this year. But when I have grandchildren, as retribution, I will buy the loudest toys available on the market for my grandchildren. What do you think of that?
Oh, I think it's fabulous. Yeah.
Stephanie, you have to take out a second mortgage to go to a parenting class at CareNet?
Again, no. All services are free, including the parenting classes. And our classes are actually approved by the court system. So if there is a young man or woman who needs to go through classes, they can actually go through CareNet if they're required by court order. And again, free.
Yeah, and I want our listeners to keep hearing that. And we know that the ministry and all the work you're doing is not free. It's free to your clients and to the people that need the care. But I'm hoping our listeners will come alongside you. Tell us about volunteers, Lori, and tell us how they can come alongside you financially.
Well, we always need volunteers. We, in every single one of our centers, every one of our areas. And if it's okay, I can talk about the compassion crew training that's coming up right now. That's one of our greatest needs, is that Miss Julie Winkler is going to be training on this coming Saturday, the 18th of July, at our Northeast Heights location, a compassion crew training. And what those people are going to be doing is specifically, they'll be on the sidewalk outside of the late-term abortion clinic, and they will be helping to engage with those folks who are going in and be able to direct them over to our medical mobile unit. And so that's such an important part of what we're going to be doing. And that will be their only role at CareNet, is that they will be the ones who are scheduled to be on the sidewalk. And that's a huge thing. We still need we need them in each of our other centers as well. The big thing we have going on right now for our fundraising is, just due to some of the increased restrictions and mandates from the coronavirus situation, the location that we had in place for our Walk for Life has been canceled. And just that location has been canceled, not our walk. We are a virtual walk now. We have everything online. You can go to CareNetABQ.org/events, and you can create a team. You can sign up to be a walker. You can get your church involved. You know, everybody can still be involved. We have pledge forms. We have all kinds of things available. And what we're planning right now, and because this was kind of sudden, I didn't realize this was going to happen. We thought we had everything in place. We are going to have a drive-through walk celebration the day of the event. So I can't even tell you right now what that location is. So watch our website again, and that information will be there no later than the middle of August. But we'll just have people, you know, bring their things to us. We'll get them their prizes, and we'll thank them for their involvement in this.
You're doing some amazing work. Uh-huh. You have staffs that you have to pay, right. Rent that you have to pay, right. And we need our listeners to come alongside you.
Right.
Your Walk for Life is a major fundraiser mm-hmm. for you annually. Mm-hmm. So the virtual thing, all of us are getting used to that.
Yeah.
We're having to do about everything virtually. And I think in some ways there's a silver lining to that
because
I think we're communicating mm-hmm. more effectively when it comes to electronics.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe I should say it this way. I'm 62, and most people I know that are over 45 didn't understand anything about social media and all that. And guess what? I think I've caught up a little bit. And I still don't know all of it. I have all of five of my kids can text on two phones simultaneously and type with their thumbs, which I will never master that. But that kind of gives you an example of some things that are going on. I want to be facetious, Julie, about this training, the compassion training that you have coming up. Are you going to be training people how to berate people that are going into the abortion clinic, or what are you training them to do?
No, we'll be talking about how to harness the power of the Holy Spirit on the sidewalk and how to prayerfully engage with people coming from very difficult circumstances. We've never had a client on the sidewalk that had an easy go story to tell. And so we're going to talk about some of the harder cases, the harder things that they have to be prepared to answer for or provide assistance for.
Do they have to have a perfect track record to be a volunteer for you?
No, of course not. None of us have a perfect track record. They do need to come and fill out an application, and we do a basic background check to make sure that our clients and other volunteers are safe with each other. But aside from that,
what if you have somebody that had an abortion 5 years ago? They've been filled with regret about it, and they want to come talk to you and maybe even volunteer.
We would love to talk with them. I think the biggest thing we could offer them is healing from that.
Yeah.
And once they've received healing, sometimes, unless you've walked the same road as some of these clients, you can't reach them. And so we have, like Stephanie said earlier, we do have many volunteers and staff that have had abortions in their past. And so that is definitely not a turn away.
Well, and I think that you want to keep everybody safe. So the volunteers that you have are going to have some background checks. We know that there are people in the world that will do things that they shouldn't do. And so you want to have a background check. And that's just going to assure the safety of everybody, including your volunteers and your staff and the clients that come in. So I think that that's absolutely something people should do. But the training is also going to help them personally, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. That's the hope.
Yeah. And it's for men or women.
Yes.
Right. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I keep leaving the men out.
I know.
We keep bringing them up.
Men actually have a little bit to do with this equation too, don't they?
They do.
Do men take responsibility for what is going on?
They want to. But the world keeps telling them that they have no place in this decision, that they cannot stand up and take a stand for their child. And that is definitely not the message we want to send to the men that we encounter.
And that's what our fatherhood program is all about, is really coming alongside the men to encourage them to be there, to be supporters. And that makes a huge difference for a lot of the women making that decision.
Laura, you mentioned churches.
Yes.
How can churches get involved with CareNet?
Oh, lots of ways. They can help us with our fundraisers, you know, in getting engaged in the Walk for Life and the banquet and those sorts of things. They can encourage their congregations to become volunteers. That's another good way to help. They can do diaper drives and wipes and provide supplies for the local center in their community. That's always a big help. And just to, communicate with me, just to let me know. And we love to know what their needs are too. We love to be able to pray for them.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Stephanie Luke, Executive Director, Lori Duffy is the Community Outreach Director, and Julie Winkler is the Medical Mobile Unit Director for CareNet. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks again.
Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.